Okay. Today, as in yesterday, we're going to be chanting the prayers to Lord Nisingadev for the welfare of the devotees in Ukraine, and we'll speak a few minutes about that after chanting. Everyone's muted now, except for me. So, as we did yesterday, and I think for the next few days, the beginning of class, we're going to be chanting the prayers to Lord Nisingadev for the safety and Krishna's, of course, safety means Krishna's protection for the devotees in Ukraine who are right in the middle of this war zone, this horrendous, horrendous situation. And we're going to be speaking some words of caution too about what we should do and what we should not do, because it's a very touchy situation that we can make things worse for devotees. So, let's chant the prayers to Lord Nisingadev for the safety and welfare of the devotees in Ukraine. Namaste, Narasimhaya,
Yeah.
Divine Grace, Abhaya Chalanada Bhaktivedanta, Goswami Srila Prabhupada Gijai, Iskand Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Gijai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrind Gijai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Gijai, Prem Seko, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Sivasvi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Kichai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikopinath Swayam Kund Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kichai Vrindavan Kichai Mathuradam Kichai Jagannatha Swami Kichai Yamunamaya Kichai Srimati Lassi Devi Kichai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kichai Gaur Vrindananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharni Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Dejutarni. So, as I mentioned before, we are chanting every day the prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev for the protection of the Vaishnavas around the world, and specifically in Ukraine. One devotee got hit by a sniper, not in Kiev, in a smaller village, and he got hit in the chest, and I think the bullet grazed his head, and he's being taken care of by his wife because can't get to a hospital, so we ask everyone to pray for him. And devotees, most of the devotees are in Kiev at our center, which is right in the city. And the center has two floors below street level, so that gives some protection. Of course, the temple itself, the deities, are at street level. They boarded up the windows, and can't move the deities because the deities are as big as Radha Madhava in Mayapur, so they weigh, each of them weigh over a ton. So it's not possible to move the deities there. But the devotees have taken shelter, there's plenty of food. But right now you can't get money into the country, but the devotees seem to have enough facilities, food, and whatever else they need. And we just pray that this conflagration will be over very quickly so the devotees can get on with their normal Krishna conscious activities, and they are taking shelter of Krishna. And just one thing I wanted to mention, and I'll also mention this at the end, that if anybody is going to be posting anything or anything online, do not post anything that casts aspersion on Russia. And whatever you think this particular conflagration or problem is due to, do not take sides. And the reason I'm saying that is that we have tens of thousands of devotees in Russia. We have tens of thousands of devotees in Russia. And we do not want them threatened in any way. So we don't want any sort of official or semi-official or statement that appears to be like from the Krishna conscious movement taking sides in this particular issue. We're just praying for everybody. We're praying this will be over as soon as possible so that everybody can safely continue with their normal Krishna conscious activities and the world can go back to the way it was, well, better than the way it was. And devotees are not in that sort of mortal danger. Of course, everyone is in mortal danger in this world. But that sort of mortal danger, we don't want devotees or anybody being in. We certainly do not want World War III. We don't want any of this sort of violence. We are definitely interested in peace between everybody, especially between the devotees and between everybody. And actually, Prabhupada gives us the peace formula in the Gita, in which he recites the fifth, from the fifth chapter, text 29, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshram, Suvanam Sarvabhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantim Richati. One who understands that Krishna is the enjoyer, the ultimate goal of all sacrifices, the friend of all living entities, Suvanam Sarvabhutanam, that person can attain peace, or that society can attain peace. So this is the peace formula. When we think that we're the enjoyers, or our country is the enjoyer, or some race is the enjoyer, or some gender is the enjoyer, then we're actually dividing up humanity and dividing up all living entities. And thinking that some people can be exploited or some people are less important. And this causes, one of the main causes of wars. So we just pray that people come to a higher spiritual level, a compassionate level, and not want to harm any others. So this is our prayer today. So now we will go on and we will continue reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the 24th chapter of the Madhya Lila, and we are reading about the different meanings of the Atmarama verse. But in this particular section, beginning with text 251, we're going to be talking about Magrari the hunter, and I'm going to give a summary in a second as soon as we get to the text. Hold on a second. So, Omagana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So then, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So just to bring us up to speed with the story of Magrari the Hunter. So Magrari the Hunter was a hunter. And he learned from his father, it's just like not to have any empathy or sympathy or compassion, but to enjoy seeing others suffer. And particularly, he enjoyed, as did his father, seeing animals suffer. And in order to accomplish that particular goal, he half-killed animals and just watched them writhe. And so Narada Muni came upon these half-killed animals and traced out their source and saw Magrari with a bow and arrow. And Magrari was angry with him because Narada Muni had alerted the animals that there were people there and that they were running away from Magrari. And Magrari was a little upset about the whole thing. And then Narada Muni began to preach. He says, why don't you just fully kill the animals? Because it's not as sinful. Of course, this is in reference to someone who is a lower, let's say, culture. He was a hunter. He was brought up in that way. So the sin is not so great, but if one has more knowledge, then one has a greater karmic reaction, or as we would say, sinful reaction. So he's explaining to Magrari the Hunter that, you know, these animals will come and get you in the next lifetime. So you better stop doing this. So we'll hear how Magrari responds here in Narada Muni's preaching to Magrari. And Narada Muni uses a very interesting technique in preaching to Magrari. And not all of us are capable of using the same technique, and we're going to hear about what that technique was. So let's start. Kadartya tumiyata marila jivere tara taiche tama marive janma janmantare. Narada Muni continued, all the animals that you have killed and given unnecessary pain, will kill you one after the other in your next life and in life after life. Ooh. This is an authoritative statement made by the great sage Narada, that those who kill animals and give them unnecessary pain, as people do in slaughterhouses, will be killed in a similar way in the next life and in many lives to come. One can never be excused from such an offense. If one kills many thousands of animals in a professional way so that other people can purchase the meat to eat, one must be ready to be killed in a similar way in his next life and in life after life. Wow. There are many rascals who violate their own religious principles. According to Judeo-Christian scriptures, it is clearly said, thou shalt not kill. Nonetheless, giving all kinds of excuses, even the heads of religions indulge in killing animals while trying to pass as saintly persons. This mockery and hypocrisy in human society bring about unlimited calamities. Therefore, occasionally there are great wars. Ooh. Masses of people go out in the battlefields and kill themselves. Presently, they have discovered the atomic bomb, which is simply waiting to be used for wholesale destruction. If people want to be saved from the killing business life after life, they must take to Krishna consciousness and cease sinful activity. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness recommends that everyone abandon meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling. When one gives up these sinful activities, he can understand Krishna and take to this Krishna consciousness movement. We therefore request everyone to abandon sinful activity and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. In this way, people can save themselves from repeated birth and death and from being killed like the animals in slaughterhouses. The prophet here is making an indirect reference to some conversations he's had with some Christians, especially one particular Christian named Cardinal Danilou. Forgive me if I didn't pronounce it correctly, it's French. And he had this, it was an argument with this cardinal. He kept saying to the cardinal that Jesus Christ says, thou shalt not kill. The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not kill. And the cardinal kept saying, no, that is murder. referring to human beings only, but it says thou shalt not kill. And in the Bible it also says he who kills an ox is like a bull or a male cow, is the same as he who kills a man. That's in the Bible. And the Bible says, your food shall be the vegetables. That's another statement in the Bible. So, anyway, there's many different statements in the Bible, but they're so attached to the satisfaction of their tongue and eating flesh. It's such a low-class thing, eating flesh with the blood and everything like that, that they will have to suffer life after life. Narda Sange Vyadaramana Rasana Haila Tandravakya Shunimane Vaya Bajila. In this way, through the association of the great sage Narada Muni, the hunter was a little convinced of his sinful activity. He therefore became somewhat afraid due to his offenses. This is the effect of associating with a pure devotee. Our preachers who are preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world should follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni and become purified by following the four principles and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This will make them fit to become Vaishnavas. Then, when they speak to sinful people about the teachings of this Krishna conscious movement, people will be affected and take the instructions. We receive instructions in devotional service through the disciplic succession. Narada Muni is our original guru because he is the spiritual master of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is the spiritual master of our disciplic succession, and therefore we should follow the footsteps of Narada Muni and become pure Vaishnavas. A pure Vaishnava is one who has no ulterior motive. He has totally dedicated himself to the service of the Lord. He does not have material desires, and he is not interested in so-called learning and philanthropic work. The so-called learned scholars and philanthropists are actually karmis and gyanis. In sum, all right, that means they're interested in gross sense gratification and liberation. And some are actually misers engaged in sinful activity. All are condemned because they are not devotees of Lord Krishna. Everyone has a chance to become purified by associating with this Krishna conscious movement and strictly following the rules and regulations. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from all contamination, especially contamination brought about by the killing of animals. Lord Krishna says, wait a second, he requests, Sarvadhamam Parichyajam Amikam Sharanam Praja Aham Tvam Sarva Papayibhyo Moksha Yishami Masrujaha. Oops. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. That's the Gita 18:66, which I think you're all familiar with. We should take this instruction from Krishna and follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni in the disciplic succession. If we simply surrender unto Krishna's lotus feet and take this Krishna conscious movement seriously, we can be freed from the karma incurred by sin. If we're intelligent enough, we shall engage in the loving service of the Lord. Then our lives will be successful and we shall not have to suffer like the hunter life after life. By killing animals, not only will we be bereft of the human form, but we will have to take an animal form and somehow or other be killed by the same type of animal we have killed. This is the law of nature. The Sanskrit word mangsa means meat. It is said mangsa kadati iti mangsa. That is, I am now eating the flesh of an animal who will one day in the future be eating my flesh. A little discouraging if you're eating meat. Just like today, I was talking to one of the students at the university, and she was explaining that there's a group of people in the university who just go out and shoot the squirrels. And shoot them or kill the squirrels. And I was saying, well, guess what? They're going to become squirrels in the next life. Vyadakai balyahaite emara karma kemanakari mumbuni parmaraha dama. The hunter then admitted that he was convinced of his sinful activity, and he said, I've been taught this business from my very childhood. Now I'm wondering how I can become free from these unlimited volumes of sinful activity. So actually, Prabhupada tells the story in a little different way. I was thinking it was told that way this time. And another time, Prabhupada told the story that Narada Muni gave the hunter a vision of his future in which all the animals were coming to attack him and scared bejesus out of the hunter, and the hunter had that spiritual realization at that point. This kind of admission is very beneficial as long as one does not again commit sin. Cheating and hypocrisy are not tolerated by higher authorities. If one understands what sin is, he should give it up with sincerity and regret and surrender unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality Godhead through his agent, the pure devotee. In this way, one can be freed from the reactions of sin and make progress in devotional service. However, if one continues committing sins after making some atonement, he will not be saved. In the Shastras, such atonement is compared to an elephant's bathing. An elephant takes a very good bath and cleanses its body very nicely, but as soon as it comes out of the water, it picks up some dust on the shore and throws it all over the body. Atonement may be carried out very nicely, but it will not help a person if he continues committing sins. Therefore, the hunter first admitted his sinful activity before the saintly person, Narada, and then asked how he could be saved. So in other words, if you simply feel bad and atone, you know, do some austerity, which is called prayaschitta in Sanskrit, that's not enough, because you still have the tendency to perform that same activity and then sin repeats itself, or, you know, bad karma repeats itself. So there has to be some purification. In other words, just feeling bad and atoning or doing some sacrifice or apologizing is not really the point. Just like in the Christian church, they have this thing called confession that they go before the priest and they confess, and the priest absolves them of their sins. And the Jewish religion, we have, my background is one day a year you do this Day of Atonement. It's called Yom Kippur. And hopefully, after fasting half the day or a full day, whatever, then you're freed from it. And during the day, you're saying, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me for everything I did. And then you're atoned. So it's better than going once a week to confession. No, I'm just joking. One has to change their activities, and the only practical way to change the activities is with a purification of heart. Otherwise, we are all, well, not me, but everyone is addicted, it's habit-forming sinful activities, or addicted to performing sinful activities. E papayaya mora, kemana upaye, nistarakaraha more, padon tumara paye. The hunter continued, my dear sir, please tell me how I can be relieved from the reactions of my sinful life. Now I fully surrender unto you and fall down at your lotus feet. Please deliver me from sinful reactions. By the grace of Narada Muni, the hunter came to his good senses and immediately surrendered unto the saint's lotus feet. This is the process. By associating with the saintly person, one is able to understand the reactions of his sinful life. When one voluntarily surrenders to a saintly person who is a representative of Krishna and follows his instructions, one can become freed from sinful reactions. Krishna demands the surrender of a sinful man, and Krishna's representative gives the same instructions. The representative of Krishna never tells his disciples, surrender unto me. Rather, he says, surrender unto Krishna. If the disciple accepts this principle and surrenders himself through the representative of Krishna, his life is saved. Wow. Because Krishna says, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee, but he who says he is a devotee of my devotee is my devotee. So we express our surrender through the spiritual master, through Krishna's pure devotee. Narada kahe yadidara hamara vachana tave se karite pare tamara mochana. Narada Muni assured the hunter, if you listen to my instructions, I shall find the way you can be liberated. Gaurange Ravatagane Jane Jane Shati Dare. The purport of this song is that the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very powerful, and each and every one of them can deliver the whole world. What then to speak of Narada Muni? If one follows the instructions of Narada Muni, one can be delivered from any number of sinful reactions. This is the process. One must follow the instructions of a spiritual master, then one will certainly be delivered from all sinful reactions. This is the secret of success. Yesha deve paral bhaktir yata deve tatagoro. In other words, one should have faith in the spiritual master, faith in the Vedic literatures, faith in bhakti yoga, and then kashyate yatata Mahatmana, then everything is revealed to such a person. If one has unflinching faith in Krishna, the spiritual master, oh, there's the sanskrit I just quoted, the result is Tashaita Katitayarta Prakashante Mahatmana. All the conclusions of the revealed scriptures will be open to such a person. In other words, it's revealed. It's a revelation. A pure devotee of Krishna can make the same demands that Narada Muni is making. He says, if you follow my instructions, I shall take responsibility for your liberation. A pure devotee like Narada can give assurance to any sinful man, because by the grace of the Lord, such a devotee is empowered to deliver any sinful person. If that person, if, there's a big if, that's the operative word, if that person follows the principles set forth, in other words, the principles that the spiritual master gave the disciple. So it's not that you are freed from sins and you can do anything. Just believe in me and you will be saved. A bona fide guru never says, believe in me and you'll be saved. No. Follow my instructions and you will be saved. Not believe in me. You know, so many people, let's say in Christianity, they say we just have to believe in Jesus. Jesus never said such a thing like that. He actually said, so many will come in my name, that is Jesus' name, but they are not of me. In other words, they're not connected to me. In other words, they'll use the name of Jesus. Sometimes you use other people's names to accomplish what you want. I mean, for example, when we used to distribute Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, we would always say that George Harrison has sent me to distribute this book. In one sense, it's true, because the foreword of the Krishna book had George Harrison's name. He had signed it, All You Need Is Love, and he paid for the initial printing. So in one sense, it was true. But in another sense, you know, we also said, George Harrison, you don't have to give a donation because George Harrison paid for us to give it out for free. So we shouldn't do one. What he said, name dropping. We shouldn't do name dropping, and think that that's going to get us back to Godhead. You just drop name drop with Jesus Christ. Hey, I believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, God says, you go back to Godhead. Anybody who believes in Him goes back to, no. Anybody who follows Him goes back to Godhead. Just like with the police. If you're a criminal and you believe in the police, it doesn't change the fact that you're a criminal. But if you're a criminal and you follow the law, then, well, if you're a criminal and follow the law, you're not a criminal. Obviously, that's a contradiction. If you follow the law, you're not a criminal. But if you don't follow the law and believe in the police, you are a criminal. People don't understand this simple, simple logic. Vyada kahe ye kaha seta kariba narada kahe danuka banga tabe se kahiba. The hunter then said, my dear sir, whatever you say, I shall do. Narada immediately ordered him, first of all, break your bow. Oh my God, put your gun away. Then I shall tell you what is to be done. Prabhupada said, this is the process of initiation. The disciple must vow that he or she will no longer commit sinful activity, namely illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication. He promises to execute the order of the spiritual master. Then the spiritual master takes care of him and elevates him to the spiritual emancipation. So it's a contract. Yadakahe Tanaka Vangile Vattiva Kirmante Nardakai Amiyama Diva Pratijane. The hunter replied, if I break my bow, how shall I maintain myself? You know, what am I going to eat? Narada Muni replied, do not worry, I shall supply all your food every day. Prabhupada said, the source of our income is not actually the source of our maintenance. Every living being from the great Brahma down to an insignificant ant is being maintained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Eko Bhavanam Yogadadati Kaman. The one Supreme Being, Krishna, maintains everyone. Our so-called source of income is our own choice only. If I wish to become a hunter, it will appear that hunting is the source of my maintenance. If I become a Brahmin and completely depend on Krishna, I do not conduct a business, but nonetheless my maintenance is supplied by Krishna. The hunter was disturbed about breaking his bow because he was worried about his income. Narada Muni assured the hunter because he knew that the hunter was not being maintained by the bow, but by Krishna. Being the agent of Krishna, Narada Muni knew very well that the hunter would not suffer by breaking the bow. There was no doubt that Krishna would supply him food because he became a devotee, as actually Krishna says in the Gita. Ananyaschintayantamam yejana payupasate tesham nechupayuttamam yogakshema vahamyam. For those who are devoted to me, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Dhanuka bangi vyadatanra charane padila tarayutanyanarda upadesha kaila. Being thus assured by the great sage Narada Muni, the hunter broke his bow, immediately fell down at the saint's lotus feet, and fully surrendered. Boy, which preaching was so easy for me. After this, Narada Muni raised him with his hand and gave him the instructions for spiritual advancement. This is the process of initiation. The disciple must surrender to the spiritual master, the representative of Krishna. The spiritual master, being in the disciplic succession stemming from Narada Muni, is in the same category with Narada Muni. A person can be relieved from his sinful activity if he surrenders to the lotus feet of a person who actually represents Narada Muni. Narada Muni gave instructions to the hunter after the hunter surrendered. Garigya brahmane deha yata chetana eka eka vasturpari bahira hal dvijana. Narada Muni then advised the hunter, return home and distribute whatever riches you have to the pure brahmanas who know the absolute truth. After you have distributed all your riches to the brahmanas, you and your wife should leave home, each of you taking only one cloth to wear. Of course, that was Indian climate. It wasn't cold like it is here. This is the process of renunciation of the stage of anaprastha. After enjoying household life for some time, the husband and wife must leave home and distribute the riches to brahmanas and vaishnavas. One can keep his wife as an assistant in the anaprastha stage. The idea is that the wife will assist the husband in spiritual advancement. Therefore, Narada Muni advised the hunter to adopt the anaprastha stage and leave home. It is not that a grahastha should live at home until he dies. Anaprastha is preliminary to sannyas. In the Krishna consciousness movement, there are many young couples engaged in the Lord's service. Eventually, they are supposed to take vanaprastha, and after the vanaprastha stage, the husband may take sannyasa in order to preach. The wife may then remain alone to serve the deity or engage in other activities within the Krishna consciousness movement. Nadi tire heka kani utira kariya tarage kapindi. Narada Muni continued, leave your home and go to the river. There you should construct a small cottage, and in front of the cottage you should grow a tulsi plant on a raised platform. Well, tulasi parikramakara tulasi sevana nirantara krishna nama kariha kirtana. After planting the tulasi tree before your house, you should daily circumambulate the tulasi plant, serve her by giving her water and other things, and continuously chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So, of course, tulasi is a devotee, so he's serving a devotee. He didn't tell Magrani to install Radha Krishna deities. He told him to serve a devotee, tulsi. Interesting, isn't it? This is the beginning of spiritual life. After leaving household life, one may go to a holy place such as the bank of the Ganges or Yamuna and erect a small cottage. A small cottage can be constructed without any expenditure. Four logs serving as pillars can be secured by any man from the forest. The roof can be covered with leaves, and one can cleanse the inside. Thus, one can live very peacefully in any condition. Any man can live in a small cottage, plant a tulasi tree, water it in the morning, offer it prayers, and continuously chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Thus, one can make vigorous spiritual advancement. This is not at all difficult. One simply has to follow the instructions of the spiritual master strictly. Then everything will be successful in due course of time. As far as eating is concerned, there's no problem. If Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, supplies everyone with eatables, why should he not supply his devotee? Sometimes a devotee will not even bother to construct a cottage. He will simply go to live in a mountain cave. One may live in a cave, in a cottage beside a river, in a palace, or in a big city like New York or London. In any case, the devotee can follow the instructions of his spiritual master and engage in devotional service by watering the tulasi plant and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Taking the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our spiritual master, Bhakti Saranda Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, one can go to any part of the world and instruct people to become devotees of the Lord by following the regulative principles, worshipping the tulasi plant, and continuously chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Wow. Such power in worshipping tulsi. We should really appreciate that. Amitamaya Bahumana Pathaimu Dine Sayana Labe Yata Kau Dwi Jane. Narada Muni continued, every day I shall send sufficient food to you both. You could take as much food as you want. When a person takes the Krishna consciousness, there is no need to care for material necessities. Krishna says, yoga kshemam vaham yaham. That's the verse I quoted before. I personally carry all necessities to my devotees. Why should one be anxious about the necessities of life? The principle should be that one should not want more than what is absolutely necessary. Narada Muni advises the hunter to accept only what is absolutely necessary for him and his wife. The devotee should always be alert to consume only those things that he absolutely requires and not create unnecessary needs. Shop until you drop, like some ladies do. Unnecessary needs. Atabe se mrat gadi tine narada shushtakaila shushtahana mrigadi tine dana vahaila. The three animals that were half killed were then brought to their consciousness by the sage Narada. Indeed, the animals got up and swiftly fled. Dekyavya dere mane haila chamatkara gare gela vyara Guru ke kari namaskara. When the hunter saw the half-killed animals flee, he was certainly struck with wonder. He then offered his respectful obeisances to the sage Narada and returned home. Of course, this obviously increased the hunter's faith when he saw Narada free the animals, not only from their entrapment, but actually from their injuries. Yathastane Narada gela Vyadagare aila naradera upadeshe sakala karila. After this, Narada Muni went to his destination. After the hunter returned home, he exactly followed the instructions of his spiritual master, Narada. For spiritual advancement, one must have a bona fide spiritual master and follow his instructions in order to be assured of advancement. Grame dwani hoila vyada vaishnava hila gramera lokasava ana Adite Lagila. The news that the hunter had become a Vaishnava spread all over the village. Indeed, all the villagers brought alms and presented them to the Vaishnava who had formerly been a hunter. Wow. So it's the duty of the public to present a gift to a saintly person, Vaishnava or Brahmin, when going to see him. Every Vaishnava is dependent on Krishna. Let me turn this off. People have a habit of sending messages when it's time for Every Vaishnava is dependent on Krishna, and Krishna is ready to supply all of life's necessities, provided a Vaishnava follows the principles set forth by the spiritual master. There are certainly many householders in our Krishna consciousness movement. They join the movement and live in the society centers, but if they take advantage of this opportunity, do not work, but live at the expense of the movement, eating prasadam, simply sleeping, they place themselves in a very dangerous position. It is therefore advised that Vaishnavas should not live in the temple. They must live outside the temple and maintain themselves. Of course, if the grahasthas are fully engaged in the Lord's service according to the directions of the authorities, there's no harm in their living in the temple. In any case, a temple should not be a place to eat and sleep, and temple managers should be very careful about these things. I think everyone should hear that, who is a temple manager. Ekadina hanahane dashabhishik jane dine tatalaya yata kaya duijane. In one day, enough food was brought for 10 or 20 people, but the hunter and his wife would accept only as much as they could eat. Ekadina narada kaye shunoho parvate amare kashishahache. One day, while speaking to his friend Parvata Muni, Narada Muni requested him to go with him to see his disciple, the hunter. Oh, that's good. I'm really shocked you heard that. Let's read that portion over again. Where's that portion? Temple managers should be very careful about these things. Temple should not be a place to eat and sleep. Just kick people out. Or they should work. Tabe dwi rishi aila se vyada stane durahaite vyada paila gurura dharashane. As the saintly sages approached the hunter's place, the hunter could see them from a distance. Aste vyaste dana se patahanahi paya patera pibilika iti uta dare paya. With great alacrity, the hunter began to run toward his spiritual master, but he could not fall down and offer obeisances because ants were running hither and thither around his feet. Dandavatstane pibilikare dekiya vastristana jalipare dandavatana. Seeing the ants, the hunter whisked them away with a piece of cloth. After thus clearing the ants from the ground, he fell down flat to offer his obeisances. Prabhupada said the word danda means rod and vat means like a rod. To offer obeisances to the spiritual master, one must fall flat exactly like a rod falls on the ground. This is the meaning of the word dandavat. Nowadays, people—it's interesting. People actually address their letters, dandavat this or dandavat that. But that's not the way Prabhupada wrote his letters. Just please accept my obeisances. Everyone's looking for some short way, saving time. So instead of saying dandavat, they should just say danda. Narada kahe vyada e. Nahaya ascharya harivakje himsashuna haya saruvarya. Narada Muni said, my dear hunter, such behavior is not at all astonishing. A man in devotional service is automatically non-violent. He is the best of gentlemen. In this verse, the word saruvarya means the best of gentlemen. At the present moment, there are many so-called gentlemen who are expert in killing animals and birds. Nonetheless, these so-called gentlemen profess a type of religion that strictly prohibits killing. According to Narada Muni, in Vedic culture, animal killers are not even gentlemen, to say nothing of being religious men. A religious person and devotee to the Lord must be nonviolent. Such is the nature of a religious person. It is contradictory to be violent at the same time call oneself a religious person. Such hypocrisy is not approved by Narada Muni and the disciplic succession. And let's see, we did 251 to 273 today. Okay. Okay, so we're going to take some questions or allow you to ask questions. Stop sharing, stop muting, and you can either raise your hand, and I want to just speak something else, the same thing message I gave at the beginning of class about the Ukraine situation, but that's after people ask questions. So who else has a question, or does anyone have a question? Chichrilaika, okay. Buenos dias, senora.
Buenos dias, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Please receive my humble obeisances. I was wondering if a person kills a living entity, you said, or well, you read that in next life, he or she will be killed, but by that same living entity.
Or they will take a birth as that living entity and be killed. It's not necessarily true that they'll be killed by that same living entity.
Because I was wondering that, and so the karma also is also for that living entity, because if, I don't know, a squirrel has to kill me in the other life because I killed it in this life, so the squirrel has also a karma, but I triggered it,
in other words, it's a vicious cycle. You're saying that you'll kill a squirrel, next life the squirrel will kill you, and you're the cause of the squirrel having to kill you in the next life. I think it's more general that you will be killed as a squirrel, not necessarily by that same entity that's in the squirrel body. In other words, there'll be an entity in a human body that will kill you as you're a squirrel. It's not that a squirrel will kill you.
Okay, Maharaj, thank you.
I can imagine a squirrel coming up with a gun and shooting us. It's not that that same squirrel will become a human being and then kill you in the next life. But there'll be some human being that will kill you as you were in a body of a squirrel in your next life. How about that? Okay, that's good. Okay, Praneshra. Okay, you have a question. Can't hear you. You are muted. You gotta unmute yourself. Okay.
So my question is, like, now in this time, like, many people become non-vegetarian, and how they could become Krishna conscious?
They'll become Krishna conscious if they give it up and they start chanting the holy name. There's hope. There's hope for Magrari, there's hope for any of us. I mean, I know in India, so many people are eating meat now, it's not even popular to be vegetarian anymore. I mean, India is actually becoming more westernized than the West. It's like the Western people are crows, and anybody who follows the Western cycle, he'll become a crow. And so, but when you become a new crow, you get more enthusiastic. The new crows are actually more enthusiastic than the old crows. That's what Prabhupada said. Don't blame me. That's a statement of Prabhupada. Okay?
Yes,
so you have to preach to people to give up eating meat. I mean, it's hellish.
Yes.
Actually, if people in India eat meat, it's actually a heavier reaction than people in the West, because people in India know better. So with more knowledge, there's greater responsibility. As they say, with more power, there's greater responsibility. Okay, so Krishna Priya has a question.
Jai Gurudev, please accept my obeisances. So I was just reflecting, my question was, like, in the one story that we know and we heard most of the time was how Magrari the hunter, Narada Muni, showed him the visual of what was going to happen. And then at the same time, we see that he had Narada Muni's association. So then my question is, like, if one just gets a visual of what could happen and they just give it up out of fear, then is that something that they can just forget and go back into sinful life if they haven't had the realization that came from good association?
Yeah, that's right. But the actual story is he was given a visual and association.
See, right.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the origin of this story is not actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The origin of the story, it's a story from the Puranas. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is telling the story in a very short form.
Right, he's sharing.
The story in the Puranas is he actually had a visual, or more than a visual. I think it was just like a whole sensory experience. Maybe it was like all the senses or something like that, of all the animals coming and eating him. So
yeah, I remember it was really
vivid. Need the association. You can't just scare people. I mean, I've seen sometimes you scare people with the law of karma and that they don't become devotees, even if they accept it, because they have uncontrolled senses. Adantako Pirvishatam Tamishram Purna Purnas Char Vitachar Vandana. Palad Maharaj says, Matirana Krishna Padatovas Vatova Mido Vipadye Vigraha Vratanam. That even if one is not pure in mind, Matirana Krishna, his mind is not pure in on Krishna, even if he's given good instruction or good association, it doesn't matter because he'll still be engaged in just doing the same thing over and over again. Punat punas charvita charvandanam. So, yeah, good question. Okay, so here's another one from Abhay Chaitanya. Does this mean if one has been a mediator and gives it up and takes Krishna consciousness, they will escape the cycle for sure? Or else a lot of us are going to become squirrels in the next life. Or even worse. Of course, killing a squirrel is one thing. Killing a squirrel is one thing, but killing a cow means taking a cow birth for every hair that's on that cow. So it's actually far worse. Yes. Yes, like Trisha Laker said, it was a virtual reality experience without the goggles that Narada Muni gave Magrari the Hunter. It wasn't just seen, it was actually a full experience. Anyway, if one takes up Krishna consciousness, then Sarva Dharma Pratyasha Mamekam Shamanam Praja Aham Tvam Sarva Papibhyo. That means all sins. Moksha Yashami, one will be free. Master Chaha, don't worry, don't be concerned about it. Just serve Krishna. Okay. Oh. Looks like Krishna Priya has another question. Your hand's still up, or do you want to put it down? Okay. If you don't have another question, don't. You can ask it if you have another question. If you don't, just put your hand down. So, anybody else have a question? Otherwise, I want to just say a few words again just to reiterate what I was saying before about the situation in Ukraine. Several things. There was one devotee who was hit by a sniper in the chest and the head, I think, grazed the head, and he's being taken care of by his wife. He's still alive as far as I know. That's one point. The second point is, and I think very important for us to hear, is not to... I heard he got hit in the head. That's the story I heard. So the second point is that one should not, let's say, publicly take sides. Although we may have opinions about, you know, the guilty parties in this particular, we don't want to call it invasion. This guilty parties. In this particular case, that may be our personal opinion, but to take sides publicly, we could be endangering the devotees in Russia. There are literally thousands of devotees in Russia, And if the Russian government equates the Christian conscience movement with taking a negative stance towards it or its actions, we're endangering the lives of the devotees. Oh, hand and chest. Actually, what was presented to me was head and chest, but anyway. So, whatever. Hopefully it's just the hand and chest that he was hit in. So, getting back to the point. So we don't want to endanger the lives of those who are in Russia. You know, literally tens of thousands of devotees in Russia. And the third point I wanted to make is that we should pray and chant for the welfare of those devotees and others. Nothing we can do other than that right now. I mean, in the future. Whoops. I keep putting messages in. Driti Radha, today, in Yamamsi Madhava Prabhu, he was hit. Yeah, there's no hospital or anything like that. So, one thing we can do is we can all pray and chant. There's nothing financially we can do to help them right now. They will be in the future when we're dealing with a lot of refugees and we're dealing with the end game of this situation. But right now we should all pray for these devotees. And as I did in the beginning of class, we chanted the prayers to Lord Nrsingadev. And today is Ekadasi, so I chanted 71 rounds for the benefit of the devotees there, praying for the devotees. So we could, whenever you have an opportunity, chanting the holy name is also a prayer. And, you know, practically everything we do is praying, chanting the holy name, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Gaita Garata Shivasini Gaur Bhaktivinoda, or Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So as I was chanting today, I was just praying for the benefit of these devotees there that are basically trapped in Ukraine because they don't let any of the males, like between the age of 16 to 60 and even above 60, leave the country, because they're enlisting them in the army. So basically pray. Right now pray, and then we'll give devotees some notice how we can help them in other ways in the future. Alright, thank you very much, and we'll see everybody same time, same station tomorrow. Tomorrow is Sunday here, or Monday, for those of you in New Zealand, Australia, or Fiji. All glorious to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.